1 Kings chapter 8, we'll be reading the first 8 verses. Then Solomon assembled the elders of Israel and all the heads of the tribes, the chief of the fathers of the children of Israel, unto King Solomon in Jerusalem, that they might bring up the ark of the covenant of the Lord out of the city of David, which is Zion. And all the men of Israel assembled themselves unto the king Solomon at the feast in the month of Ethanim, which is the 7th month. And all the elders of Israel came, and the priests took up the ark, and they brought up the ark of the Lord and the tabernacle of the congregation and all the holy vessels that were in the tabernacle, even those did the priests and the Levites bring up. And King Solomon and all the congregation of Israel that were assembled unto him were with him before the ark, sacrificing sheep and oxen that could not be told nor numbered for the multitude. And the priests brought in the ark of the covenant of the Lord unto his place, into the oracle of the house, to the most holy place, even under the wings of the cherubims. For the cherubim spread forth their two wings over the place of the ark, and the cherubims covered the ark and the staves thereof, and they drew out the staves, that the end of the staves were seen out in the holy place before the oracle, and they were not seen without, and there they are unto this day. I'm going to preach a message today called Staves, Stones, and Supports. Staves, Stones, and Supports. We're going to talk about these two staves today, and I think you'll enjoy the message. I hope you'll get a truth from it. Let's go to the Lord in prayer tonight. Lord, we thank you for this message. Lord, you know, this is not the place that I would normally stand. And Lord, I'm here tonight trying to be a support to our pastor. He's asked me to be here. Lord, I do know that you want me here tonight. And I do pray, Lord, that you'd take the message you've given to me. And I pray that you'd help my words to be clear and exactly what they should be. I pray that your Holy Spirit would go through me. I pray that the Holy Spirit would come upon this place, that you'd speak to all of our hearts through a simple and yet, Lord, very powerful message from the Word of God tonight and the truth that's found therein. And I pray that you'd give us safety tonight as we go home later this evening. Thank you for being in control, Lord, and giving us your grace. Please be with us tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. I thank the Lord for the fact that he is in control. It's pretty good. We get worried about the weather. You know what? The world hypes up this. You turn on the news or you listen to the radio, you'd think that, you know, blizzard of, you know, 1921 or something is coming through, because that's what people do. They turn on the radio and they worry about it. I'm thankful for God. He's in control. And so I'll get you out in plenty of time to have the meeting tonight. Lord willing, we won't be long, but you never know. Ask the kids in chapel. I say I won't be long, and then I end up being all the way to... they don't like those chapels because they lose break time on those, amen? They like the chapels that end about 15, 20 minutes earlier, so praise the Lord for that. Here's an interesting passage in the Bible. In this time, we've got King Solomon, okay? And David's gone. King Solomon, of course, is the one who built the temple. We're going to go look at some passages of Scripture right before this in just a minute. But King Solomon puts a lot of work into the temple, and it's a neat study. I mean, go through, you know, if you're bored by that stuff, I challenge you to go back and read the temple and the building and the making of it, and just think about it, man. Just think about how much, you know, imagine it being this church here and what would go into building it. But imagine it in these days as the temple. It's a pretty neat study, and we're going to look at a few of those things today. Maybe some words that we haven't heard before. But here we have the dedication. So the temple is built. But they got to move everything into it. Not everything, but these few things. It says here they move the Ark of the Covenant, of course, goes into the temple. It goes into the Holy of Holies. And it talks about this, and they have a dedication. And Solomon, we're not going to read his dedication, but he prays. And it's a neat time. They obviously, it says there, they sacrificed hundreds of bulls and calves and stuff. They didn't even count them because they had so many. And so this is a big day, okay? This is a special day for the children of Israel. But I want to point out these two things here. The Bible says in verse 7 and 8, I want you to just read them again with me. For the cherubim spread forth their two wings over the place of the ark, and the cherubims covered the ark, and notice what it says, and the staves thereof above. And they drew out the staves, that the ends of the staves were seen out of the holy place before the oracle, and they were not seen without, and there they are unto this day. I'll explain that a little bit in a minute when we get to this part of Scripture. But I wanted you to think about this, okay? The ark couldn't be touched, could it? It couldn't. The only way they could get it from place to place is to carry it. And they carried it on these two staves that the Levites would take it. And I don't know how they carried it. I don't know how heavy the ark was, honestly. I don't. I guess we could try to build it. It was made of wood. If you go back, we're going to look there. In fact, you can start turning there. Let's go all the way back real quick to Exodus 25. And while you're turning, we'll think about this a second. You know, these guys, they would take these staves and they'd carry it. This is how they carried the ark. They couldn't touch it. We found out in the Bible that if you touched it, you died. Okay, it was part of God's commandment, and it happened. So people were definitely scared of the Ark of the Covenant. The power of God was in there. But they carried it around with these staves. Let's go back to Exodus before I get ahead of myself here. Exodus 25. So here we are, okay, and the neat thing about this is I didn't do all the numbers, didn't crunch all the numbers. In fact, we don't know for sure because, you know, the Bible has a lot of dates in it, but it's hard to really think about it. But here we've got Solomon. And then if you go back a few years before, you've got David. And then if you go way back, you've got here in Exodus, which would be God giving the law to the children of Israel. He's telling them how to build, not the temple. He's not telling them how to build the temple. He's telling them how to build the tabernacle. Why does he got to tell them how to build the tabernacle? Well, they were where? In the wilderness, right? They had to travel, and he needed a place for them to worship him. And so they go through, and the tabernacle has a neat description here. But part of the things that they built with the tabernacle was the Ark of the Covenant, okay? And so here in Exodus 25, we find how he commands them to build the Ark of the Covenant. He gives some details here. Let's look at it. We're gonna get to the message, the staves and stuff, but I want you to think about this thing. Before we go through all this stuff, we're going to kind of read some stuff about what God wanted to be in the, he wanted to be in the tabernacle. We're going to read a little bit what God wanted to be in the temple. And then we're going to end up right where we started there with the dedication of the temple. So there's two places I want you to think about, the tabernacle and the temple and everything inside of them. There's a lot of things God wanted inside of these places, a lot of people that were going to build them. And so that's what I want you to think about. But I want you to think about the small things, and I'll point them out here in just a second. The title of the message is Staves, Stones, and Supports. We're going to look at some of the stuff that you wouldn't normally, you know, when you walk into this church, you don't go, oh, wow, look at that trip. You know, you don't pick out the littlest details, okay? We don't walk in and say, wow, look at the floor joists and the studs in the walls. We can't see those things, can we? In fact, they're covered up with paint, and that's a good thing, amen? But you know what? We don't notice those things, but they support this building on the sides, and without them, we wouldn't have a church, okay? A building church is what I'm talking about here. And so let's look at what God puts into the tabernacle here. We're going to be in Exodus 25, verse 10. And he's given instructions. We're going to skip around a few places, so if we skip something that you wanted to hear about, amen, go back and read it. All right? Amen. Chapter 25, verse 10. I'm sure we will. There's always somebody in the church we skip the one thing they wanted to hear about, amen. But like I said, go back and read it. Exodus 25, verse 10. And they shall make an ark of shittim wood. 2 cubits and a half shall be the length thereof, and 1.5 cubits the breadth thereof, and 1.5 cubits the height thereof. So he gives the dimensions of the ark there. If you wanted to recreate it, go ahead. And thou shalt overlay it with pure gold. So underneath it's wood, but on the outside it looks like it's gold. Within and without shall thou overlay it, and shall make upon it a crown of gold round about. And thou shalt cast 4 rings of gold for it, and put them in the 4 corners thereof. And 2 rings shall be in the one side of it, and 2 rings to the other side of it. And thou shalt make staves of shittim wood, and overlay them with gold. So here we find out what the staves are made of. Okay, they're made of wood. And they're overlaid to look like not wood, okay? That's a cheap way to do it, amen? If you're going to make everything gold, it's not real practical. So let's just overlay it, all right? Keep reading. And verse 14, and thou shalt put the staves into the rings by the sides of the ark, that the ark may be borne with them. That was the purpose of these staves. This stave shall be in the rings of the ark. They shall not be taken from it. That's kind of pretty important if you think about what we're going to talk about here in a minute with the staves. So here we find 2 pieces of ordinary wood. That at one time, I don't know, you know, obviously they were part of a tree. They were a branch at one time. They were something that was wood. And someone crafted those staves, and they probably found the best ones. And they probably found ones that were the right length, or they cut them to the right length, and they made them real nice. They coated them with gold. And you know what? Just walking by, you probably didn't go, oh, look, there's an ugly wood branch, okay? They made it look nice. They covered it with gold. They took what was ordinary and they made it special because why? God told them to. And so here we found, and they have a purpose. These 2 staves have 1 purpose. Their purpose is to be put in the ark and they never are to leave. So you know what I think too, if you think about it, 2 things of wood and 2 rings. I mean, those staves would slide in and out. I think they had some kind of knob at the end probably to keep it from, you know, coming out. That'll kind of be talked about. Doesn't say it anywhere. Okay, but I assume that somehow those staves were kept from being pulled out of the ark, or, you know, it's the ark of God, okay? Nobody probably, but think about where the ark of God went. This is another, you know, this isn't the sermon tonight, but you want a cool Bible study, study where the ark of God was taken. I mean, study where the ark of God had to be, what the children of God did to the ark of God. Okay, I know this is a solemn time, but study Israel's history and find out all the places the ark ends up. Okay, it's pretty amazing. And you know what? It's a good parallel for what we do sometimes to the Holy Spirit and where we take God as Christians. Listen, God entrusted them with the ark of God, and he gave them instructions. They were supposed to keep it. It was supposed to stay in the tabernacle. Okay, it's supposed to be that. And I know God tells them to take it certain places, okay? But that's partly, you know, that's a good truth. Where God sometimes, he'll tell you to, you know, he doesn't say, go be part of the world, okay? He does tell you to take the gospel to the world, though. So God's word does make it out into the world. And the ark did, too, if you think about it. Ark marched around Jericho. Ark crossed the Jordan. A lot of things the ark does that if we think about it as the Holy Spirit in my life, you know, I'm supposed to take the Holy Spirit with me certain places. In fact, if I leave him in the, you know, if I leave him over there at home and I don't take him to work, I'm not doing what I ought to with the Holy Spirit, with my testimony, with what God's given me. But you know what? Sometimes we drag the Holy Spirit through some places he shouldn't be either. And so that's a good thought, another study for another time. But here we find the ark, and it's taken around by these two staves. Okay, here's what I want you to do. We're going to look at the rest of this, just a few more items here in this tabernacle. Skip over, same chapter, verse 31 through 33. And thou shalt make a candlestick of pure gold. Of beaten work shall the candlestick be made, his shaft and his branches and his bowls and his knops. I had to look up the word knops. Hey, listen, those are small little things. A knop is basically a knob. Okay, nobody walks in and goes, oh, wow, that's a nice little knob. But here God tells you the knob's important, all right? And his flowers shall be of the same, and his six branches shall come out of the sides of it, three branches on each side. And it goes on to talk about some more things. Verse 33, three bowls made like unto almonds with a knop and a flower in one branch. And so here we find, hey, listen, more little things described in the temple. Let's skip over to chapter 26. Look at chapter 26, verses 5 through 6. We're talking about things that support what you see in the temple. 50 loops in verse 5, chapter 26, verse 5. 50 loops shall thou make in one curtain, and 50 loops shall thou make in the edge of the curtain that is in the coupling of the second, that the loops may take hold one of another. And thou shalt make 50 touches of gold and couple the curtains together with the touches, and it shall be one tabernacle. What was a touch? It was a, if you look it up in the Bible dictionary, it's like a loop. It's like a hook that hooks those together. They took those loops and they combined them on a ring or a hook that could hang the curtain, right? Kind of like you have in your shower curtain at home, right? Those little things that, you know, we don't call them touches, okay? I didn't even know what that was. So I went and looked it up. But you know what? Hey, listen, without the touches, the curtain doesn't hang up. Okay, I know it's something small, but without it, without that support, the curtain doesn't perform its function. Without the staves, the ark doesn't go anywhere. Let's keep reading and find some other things, a couple other things here I want to point out to you. Chapter 26, verse 18, look at verse 18. And thou shalt make the boards for the tabernacle. There's a supporting thing. 20 boards on the south side southward, and thou shalt make 40 sockets of silver under the 20 boards, two sockets under one board for his two tenons, and two sockets under another board for his two tenons. So here we have some introduction. If you want to learn carpentry, here you go. Okay, tenon, mortise and tenon, other things like that, okay? And verse 20, and the second side of the tabernacle on the north side, there shall be 20 boards. What are these boards for? They're for support. That's what they're there for. He's telling you how to build the tabernacle, how to support the walls of it, how to support the middle of it, how to keep everything, you know, where it should be. And so that's what we're talking about, those things that support God's tabernacle. Look at verse 31. And thou shalt make a veil of blue and purple and scarlet and fine twine linen of cunning work with cherubim shall it be made. Man, that sounds like a nice little curtain there, nice veil. Why is this supposed to be a really nice veil? Well, this is going to be the veil that separates that holy part of the temple from the rest of it. And so it's nice, veil of blue and purple and scarlet and fine twine linen. But you know what? That veil would be in the mud if it weren't for what the next thing says. And thou shalt hang it upon four pillars of shittim wood overlaid with gold. Their hooks shall be of gold upon the four sockets of silver. And thou shalt hang up the veil under the touches. There they are again. That thou mayest bring in thither within the veil the ark of the testimony. And the veil shall divide unto you between the holy place and the most holy. Brother Young, why are we reading this stuff? This is the kind of thing that I skip over during my Bible reading. Amen. Hey, listen, you know what? Because without the support, the veil that was holy, that separated the ark, that covered the ark, wouldn't hang if it weren't for the touches. It wouldn't hang if it weren't for those four pillars. The ark wouldn't be moved in there if it weren't for the two staves. And so listen, I hope that you're thinking about this, because we're getting to the message here. Brother Young, is that it? Nope, we got some more. All right. One more, okay? So we find the tabernacle. God describes it. It was a tent. It was made to be taken down, put up. And so it had to be constructed really well. I mean, they had to know how to work it all together. And so here we have, you know, the Holy of Holies. And it's kind of temporary, okay? All these hooks and stuff are so they can unhook them and hang them up and unhook them. Now we come to the new temple. We just talked about that. We just described some of the stuff that was in there. But here's before the new temple was built. Go back to 1 Kings. And this is where we'll stay the rest of the time. 1 Kings. So you have words like the staves, the knops, the touches, the pillars, the boards, the sockets. I mean, important pieces of hardware that we would otherwise just not think of. And in 1 Kings chapter 6, we find some description of the building of the temple. Neat stuff. 1 Kings chapter 6, and we'll start in verse 1. And it came to pass in the 480th year after the children of Israel were come out of the land of Egypt. That's an interesting note there. Brother Chad was talking this morning about how they left Egypt and they, you know, this not for this generation, it's for the next. This message will go along with that, I think, especially by the end of it. But listen, 480 years, this is 480 years after they left Egypt. So they left Egypt, and this is the new temple we're talking about. They've already gone through all the other stuff, the tabernacle and all that's gone. And this is Solomon building the new temple, and they're getting ready to have a permanent house that they can worship God in. This is a special thing for them, okay? This is a special thing for the children of Israel. David couldn't build it, right? But he wanted to build it, and he got everything ready. He got a lot of things ready for his son, Solomon. And Solomon gets a lot of things ready here, and he's building it. This is a special time, but it's kind of neat. 480 years later, if you look back 480 years before the tabernacle was built, and all that kind of stuff. It's a pretty neat study. I didn't get into all that, but let's keep going. Okay, in the fourth year of Solomon's reign over Israel in the month of Ziph, which is that he began to build the house of the Lord. That's verse 1. And the house which King Solomon built for the Lord, the length thereof was 80 cubits, and the breadth thereof 20 cubits. Okay, so we're not going to get into measurements here, but that's the measure. Think about that as we talk about a couple of the other things here. So it's 30 by 20. And the height thereof 30 cubits, and the porch before the temple of the house 20 cubits was the length thereof, according to the breadth of the house, and 10 cubits was the breadth thereof before the house. And for the house he made windows of narrow lights. I'm sorry, we'll skip down. Let's skip down to verse number 7. And the house, when it was in the building, was built of stone, made ready before it was brought thither, so that there was neither hammer nor axe nor any tool of iron heard in the house while it was building. That's pretty neat. They took all of the stones, those hard rocks, those boulders, and they hewed them and they carved them somewhere else, and they brought it to the site of the temple, and no hammers or chisels on those stones. Everything had to be fitted together before they brought it there. That's pretty cool. That's pretty cool to think about. There's a spiritual application coming up here in a minute that we're going to talk about these stones. They're not mentioned very much. In fact, if you read through the rest of this description of the temple, you don't see the stones. You don't see the stones. In fact, if you read the inside, most of it is wood and cedar and overlaid with gold. You don't see any of the stones. But listen, that wood wouldn't stand without these stones being there. The wood wouldn't stay up straight if it wasn't for the guy who took that chisel and made that stone perfectly flat on the top and perfectly square on the sides and perfectly fitted together with the other ones. And there's a lot to be said about the foundation of a building. I think we know that. Jesus was pretty clear on what the foundation ought to be. And I thank the Lord for the Old Testament and the picture it paints for the New Testament. And listen, hey, without these stones being done exactly, without them being molded just right, being formed just right, being fit together, the temple wouldn't be standing as long as it did. And these guys wouldn't be all that excited about the temple if it wasn't for the stones. So let's think about those stones for just a second. Skip over to we were in chapter 6, verse 7. Okay, go to verse 18 real quick. Am I in the right thing? Chapter 7, 1 Kings chapter 7, verse 18. This is a cool section. talks about the inside, okay? And the cedar of the house within was carved with knops and open flowers, and all was cedar. So there's no stones, okay? There was no stone seen. It literally says that right there. And the oracle he prepared in the house within to set there the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord, and the oracle in the forward part was 20 cubits. And so they describe this. They tell you how he makes the two cherubims. We're not going to read it, okay? But the cherubs had 10-foot wingspan, 10-cubit wingspan, okay? And there was two of them. And they the Bible says they touched from one wall to the other, and in the middle they touched wings, okay? So you've got, it's that makes sense, right? It's 20 cubits long. Every angel is exactly 10 feet wide. And the neat thing is the angels cover the ark, and it covers the place where the ark's going to be. It covers the mercy seat. We're going to get to talking about that in just a second. But this is all a pretty neat description of how the temple works. Brother Chad's mentioned a lot of times, I think, the name Hiram. Hiram is involved in a lot of this here, if you read this. In fact, I guess we'll skip over that. But Hiram does pillars. You know, those are used for support. We don't think about those very much. That's verse chapter 7, verse 18. He made pillars, okay? Chapter 7, verse 20, and the chapiters on top of the pillars. And he makes all this carvings. And it is a neat thing. He makes a whole molten sea, all right? That's a pretty cool thing to read about. He takes these oxen and he carves them and makes them, and they hold up the sea. And we're not going to talk about that today. But listen, I want you to think about it. None of this stuff would look like it is without the supports supporting it, without the small little pieces of hardware, without the touches and the staves and the other words that you don't really know or want to think about, but you need to think about them because, hey, listen, without them, the Holy of Holies isn't kept holy. There's no veil hanging in between it. Anybody can just walk in there without those things. And so here we find ourselves, 1 Kings chapter 8, verses 1 through 8. Let's look back at it one more time. For the cherubim spread, chapter 8, verse 7. For the cherubim spread forth their two wings over the place of the ark. So they've got everything built. And the cherubims covered the ark and the staves thereof above. And they drew out the staves that the ends of the staves were seen out of the holy place before the oracle. And they were not seen without. And there they are unto this day. Brother Young, how are they seen but not seen? Well, think about, I just want you to picture this, and it's just kind of a Bible lesson, but you've got two angels standing over there, one here, one here. And let's just say this is the Ark of the Covenant, okay? And it's only so long. In fact, if you study how long the Holy of Holies was, it gives dimensions there. And so where was the Ark sitting? It was sitting right here in between it. Well, those staves were probably pretty long. Okay, they had to be carried. You had to have a couple guys carrying them here and a couple guys carrying them here. They weren't huge. They definitely weren't 20 cubits, okay? Because that's how long this was. Maybe they were. I don't know. Maybe they were. But it did say specifically that they drew them. It says, what did it say? And the ends of the staves were seen. And they drew out the staves, okay? So what does that mean? Did they take them out of the ark, Brother Young? No. No, they drew them out, meaning they took them and pushed them to one side or the other. And some people think that, you know, which way did the ark face? Did it face this way or did it face this way? Okay, well, I don't know. All right, not for sure. But it does say that they weren't able to be seen from outside of that Holy of Holies. There's a curtain there, okay, separating the common man or anybody who might come into the temple from seeing into that side of the Holy of Holies. But you know what I noticed here? Somebody saw those staves. Somebody saw them. Somebody wrote it down right there and said, hey, we saw those staves. You can see it. Inside those Holy of Holies, there's those staves. They're in there. And you know what? I think part of the reason you can see them is because they drew them out one way or the other. And maybe if you think about the office of the priest, he would come into the Holy of Holies. I mean, he had to enter somewhere. He had to get through that curtain, right? So he had to go in the middle, maybe the sides. I don't know where he did. But I imagine this. I imagine that. You know what? I imagine that maybe the curtain was there. All those touches are hanging up above it. Okay, holding it up. And I imagine that, you know, one of the other priests, now not during the sacred, there were certain times where the priest would go in and they would have to drag him out. You know, they had that rope tied to him and all that kind of stuff. But you know what? In the normal office of a priest, he could offer in the Holy of Holies. And he would have his hands full, right? I mean, he would. He'd have a thing of incense or whatever he's offering in the Holy of Holies. So I imagine him walking over the side and some other priest standing over here and pulling aside that curtain for him. Okay, or letting him in. But you know what? I think some people saw those staves. It says it right there. You could see them in the Holy of Holies. Not everybody saw them, but some people saw them. And they remembered them, and they made sure to write them down. Brother Young, what are we talking about this? Hey, listen, I want to just give you three things, three real simple things. And I'll give them in a second. Without the supports, the temple wasn't what it should be. Without the stones, there's no foundation. Without the staves, the ark isn't moved anywhere. Those things are important. Hey, listen, let me ask us as church members, are we a support for God's church? Are we doing our job supporting God's church? Hey, listen, are you supporting it in the right way? Are you supporting it at all? What's your job? What have you plugged in? What have I plugged in to do in not the temple of God anymore, okay? Not that we're not in the, we don't have priests that come in the temple. Listen, your body's a temple. I understand that. Thank you, the Lord, for the New Testament. But listen, this is part of the church. We are part of the church. Are you supporting the church of Jesus Christ? Hey, listen, let's look at these three things. Just ask a couple of questions about them. Number one, here's what I noticed about all these. Ready? All of these supports started out differently, and they all had to be fashioned for the purpose God wanted them to be. Okay? All of those staves started out as twigs or sticks or trees sometime. Okay? All of those stones started out as an ugly boulder, and somebody had to shape it like it needed to be. All of those fine jewelry and the fashions and the molten metal, okay, Hiram had to melt that stuff down. He had to cast it, okay? Hey, listen, all of us in here started as something totally different than what we are today, if you're saved. Hey, listen, God wants to, first of all, save you, and he wants to use you in his temple, but he can't till he saves you. He's got to take you from a raw chunk of iron or a ugly-looking timber, and he's got to take you and make you into what he wants you to be. And you know what? You need to let him. Okay, and he uses a lot of things to do that. He uses people, obviously, here to make these things. But listen, hey, we all started out differently. Those staves were all looking ugly before they became a stave. And you know what? God had a purpose for them. Let me ask you this. Are you saved tonight? Do you know Jesus as your Savior? And if you are you letting him work on you? Hey, listen, part of this making these things took a time, didn't it? It didn't just happen overnight. God didn't just zap and create staves for the ark. Somebody had to do that. Hey, young people, part of the process here at Blessed Hope Baptist Church is we're trying to help God help you to be what God wants you to be for your life. I mean, I don't know what you're supposed to do. That's the thing. You know, I don't know what it is. Okay? Only God knows what it is. Only you can know what it truly is, what you're supposed to do for the Lord. But there's a lot of things in God's Word we know. And so that's what we're doing. We're trying to help you be just like that. And so you know what? Hey, don't get upset if somebody takes that chisel to you and knocks a few things off that shouldn't be there. Okay? I shouldn't get upset if God does it. I shouldn't get upset if God uses my mom and dad to chisel a few things away that shouldn't be there. I shouldn't be upset if God uses a message to chisel at my sides a little to get me straight. All right? Or whittles away a few knobs and knots in my wood to get me where I should be. And, you know, listen, compare yourself to these small, what we think small things. But listen, hey, none of us in here are the Ark of the Covenant, okay? All right? Brother Chad said that this morning. But the top dog of the pyramid, it's not us, okay? But you know what? We can be the touches, and we can be the staves, and we can be the stones, and we can be the boards building up the side, and some people can be the velvet linen, I guess. Okay, ladies? All right? Hopefully, if you want to be a velvet linen, you're a guy. Come talk to the men's meeting. Come to the men's meeting after church. Amen. We'll take care of that real fast. Okay. Anyway, but you know what? Hey, listen. We gotta come from where we were as a sinner to where we need to be, and God has a purpose, excuse me, for our life. Hey, listen, number two, here's what I find. They all had one purpose. You know what their purpose was? Now, they all had different functions, but they had one purpose. You know what their purpose was? To support the ministry of the temple in some way. That's it. Hey, Sunday school teacher, that's your purpose. Hey, bus driver, that's your purpose. Hey, listen, offering plate giver, pew sitter, okay? All right? We get mad at pew sitters, but you know what? Without them, we wouldn't have anybody in here, okay? But listen, if that's your only purpose, then find something else that you can do to support the ministry of the church. Hey, listen, all of us can do something. We all have something. You know, there's always that job that someone else has to take over if you don't. Okay? And so you know what? Don't let that happen. Find some way. Find as many ways. We're not a stave. We don't have just one job. Okay? I don't have to just be the person that carries the ark. But if that was my only job, I'd do it. And I'd want to do it. I want to have the right heart to do it. But listen, we're human beings that God created with many things that we can do. You don't have to support. You don't have to just walk into the church and throw your money in the offering plate and that's it. You can do a bunch of stuff. We've got so many activities here. You can support the church in so many ways. But listen, are you doing it? Are you supporting the church like you should? Hey, listen, do you go soul winning? Do you support operation? Did you support? We're at January 13th now, okay? There's things on my list that it's 13 days into the new year, and I still haven't done like I ought to, okay? We're human, right? Even the things that I decided to do, it's like, man, God, I didn't do that like you wanted me to, or I failed. But you know what? Get up and do it again. Find a way to support the local church. Find a way to support your pastor. Find a way to support the Lord and his ministry. Hey, listen, when you support Blessed Hope Baptist Church in some way, you're helping get the gospel out to other people, okay? And listen, hey, I know physically there's certain things that, you know what, they can't do their function like they used to. We're going to talk about that in a minute, but you know what? I don't know if those staves in this ark were the first staves that were ever part of the ark. I'd imagine not. You know why, Brother Chad? They carried that thing to battle, okay? I imagine that the staves that were at the new temple weren't the first ones there. But you know what? A new stave had to take its place. Now, why do you think we're raising up another generation? Because a new stave has to take the place of the old one when the old one breaks, or when the old one gets too old, when the old one rots away. Hey, listen, something's got to take that place of those staves. They didn't just exist, okay? They weren't magically protected, all right? I think those staves, I think some of them broke sometimes, and I think they had to make a new one, and they had to find wood that was ready. And they were looking, they didn't, you know what, when they went to make a new one, they didn't pick the crooked branch, they picked the straight one. When they went to make the new stave for that thing, they didn't pick the rotted wood because their heart wasn't right with the Lord. They picked the one that was right with the Lord. Hey, when God takes away a part of our church support, you know what? He's going to find somebody to plug in there, but he's not going to pick the person with the backslidden heart. He's not going to pick the person with the rotted heart. He's not going to pick the person who's not ready. Okay? You understand what I'm saying? Hey, listen, who's going to give to the church when the top 20 givers leave? Who's gonna work on the bus route when all the bus captains go on? Who's going to drive a bus when the guys who are driving the bus pass away? He can't pick somebody who doesn't have a CDL unless they want to go get one. All right? Hey, listen, you know what? God's preparing you. You never know what he's preparing you for. And here I know that they had a purpose and they did it. Okay? What more can I do to support the church? Number three, all of them eventually had to be replaced. We pretty much just covered that one. None of them are here today. Hey, listen, you know what? That temple Solomon built, it was nice, wasn't it? It's not here today. It's not. You know what replaced Solomon's temple? Amen for Jesus, okay? All right, amen for Jesus and the fact that he came. And he, a lot of that Old Testament stuff, of course, done away with, but you know what? Hey, listen, what replaced the tabernacle? The new temple. Okay, what replaced Solomon's temple? The new temple, remember in Ezra, okay? The new temple that they built. And it was, and remember the story? They built the new temple, they built the foundation, and the people who knew the first one, what happened? They cried, didn't they? You know why? They remembered all of these things. Man, they remembered Hiram's works, and they remembered those golden things, and they remembered how beautiful it looked. And you know what? It was kind of sad. It is sad to see that. You know what? I don't know. It would be sad to see that stave broken and you have to put a new one in there. It's not something that they wanted to do, but it had to be done. They all had to be replaced. But let me ask you this. How did they get replaced? Why did they get replaced? This is the thing I want you to think about. Hey, listen, did you get replaced because you just worked hard and long for the Lord and at some point you just wore out? That's how I want to be replaced. I'm not there yet. Okay? There's some people who, listen, there's preachers of old who are no longer with us. They're in heaven. They got replaced because God took them away. And somebody else came in their place. And that's not a bad way to be replaced. Hey, listen, there's some people who get replaced because, and even though they're living still, physically, they're not able to do it anymore. Hey, listen, I bet you if those beams started to fail, if things got into that wood, or you know what, if the front of that porch, if it just got wind blasted, those poles in that tabernacle, you know, they would have to put that thing up. And you know what, over time, one or two of them would break. Over time, one of them, two of them would be a casualty. And you know what, it's okay, they got replaced. But you know what, are you going to be replaced because you have a rotted wood? Is your stone going to be replaced because it's cracked? Hey, listen, we got to see what's in our life. Look in our heart. I don't want to be a stave that was replaced because I let myself rot inside. I let sin. And I don't want to be a stave that got replaced because bugs got into me and I couldn't be used anymore. I know that's like a wood analogy. I know it's an inanimate object. But listen, I don't want to be that kind of Christian that God has to replace me because I wouldn't keep myself clean, or I wouldn't keep myself right, or I wouldn't, I mean, I'm not able to be in the Holy of Holies because, you know, because I wasn't able to keep myself where I should be. Hey, listen, I don't want to be replaced like that. If I'm going to be replaced, hey, sometimes God moves things to another level too. Hey, listen, you know what? Pastor Jerry Ross he's a stave. You say, Brother Young, he's the pastor. Yeah, he's a stave. You know why? He supports God. That's what God's the one we're supposed to be supporting. Everybody in here is a stave, someone who should support God's work. We ought to support this. Are you a stave for God's word? Do you hold this up? When you go to work, do you hold this up? When you go to school, do you hold this up? Hey, listen, I know we have a lot of good Christian school kids. We got a lot of good homeschool kids in here. Not very many public school kids. Hey, listen, in this room right now, you know, the public school students, if they're going to hold this up, that takes a lot of courage to do. We need to pray for our kids in that type of atmosphere. But listen, even in a Christian school, do you hold this up? Okay? I teach in a Christian school. I went to a Christian school. Guess what? When I was in a Christian school, I let this drop every once in a while. In fact, a lot more than I should have. You know why? I wasn't being the right kind of stave. God couldn't use me like he wanted to because I wasn't upholding his word. I wasn't upholding my mom and dad. Hey, listen, you got to hold up. I wasn't upholding my pastor. Are you the one that just wants, are you the stave that just wants to, oh, I'll just lay over here. I'm just going to lay over here and do nothing. Or are you going to stave that's going to say, hey, listen, I'm going to sit right where I'm supposed to and I'm going to hold this thing up. And I may not be able to hold all of it. It may take all of us, but you know what? I'm going to do my part. And I'm going to hold my spot. And you know what? My tent's post is not going to fall over because I'm going to stay right where I'm supposed to be. And you know what? That's what I want to challenge us with tonight. Hey, listen, we can all be staves. We can all be stones. Hey, listen, I didn't get into it tonight, but you know what? I don't even know if we can all be all those things. I know we can all support something, though. Does that make sense? There's some people in here, you know what? I'm not a stone, okay? I'll just tell you, I didn't lay the ground under this church. I didn't lay the, you know who the stone is? You know who some of the, well, of course the stone is Jesus. But you know what? Ultimately, there's some men who I don't know who were stones and were using their foundation today. And you know what? There were some people who were stones that we had to, you know what? They laid the foundation and they broke. And you got to get rid of that one. You got to replace it with another one. Hey, listen, you know what? If the foundation is destroyed, what can the righteous do? That means, guess what? If your foundation is on man, it can break. That's why we put our foundation on Jesus Christ, amen. And it's my job as a Christian to help hold up the work of God in whatever way I can. I just want to be a stave. Hey, listen, is God using you today? How could you support the work of the Lord today? Hey, listen, 2019's here. We've got all kinds of exciting things. We've got guys who are coming in talking about then came Jesus. And you know what? They'll tell you that at one time they were a gnarled, ugly old branch. And all of the pastors that we see who come in with those testimonies, it's amazing. But you know what? They're not a gnarled, ugly old branch anymore. They're being used of God in some way as a pastor. And that's pretty special. But you know what? God wants that for everybody in this room. He wants to take us from an ugly old lump of clay and mold us into a vessel. He wants to take us from an old piece of wood and make some staves out of them. Hey, listen, you know what? I think we need some young men who are staves. Because guess what? The old beams, they're still holding, but they need some staves to support them. Hey, listen, we need some young lady who are staves, young ladies who are staves. I think when I think of staves, I really do, I think of the young people, okay? When I think of stones and foundations, I do think of the older generation. You know why? You put a lot of work into this church. Put a lot of prayer into this church, and your foundation matters. And guess what? It matters even right now. If you crack and break, it does hurt the church. But listen, hey, young man, the staves matter. They're helping to hold that up, that thing up. And you know what? When one breaks, that part is hurt, and we have to replace it. And you know what? If enough of them break, the side of the tent falls in. The side of the temple falls in. And guess what? God can fix everything, can't he? He's a great God. He's gracious. He can fix somebody who's broken, put them back together. But you know what? I've seen a lot of staves my age break. I've seen a lot of staves that I've helped, not a lot because I haven't been around a long time, but my goodness, even in just the 4 or 5 years that I've been here at this church, even the years that I spent in another church. Listen, God moves staves around too, amen. I'm glad God moved my stave from where I was in Kentucky to here. Now I'm in Indiana. Praise the Lord for that. And you know what? While I'm here, I'm doing my job. I'm going to hold this thing up wherever God wants me to be. Are you holding your end of the stick? Are you holding your stave straight? Listen, just think about it practically. This year, how can I give financially? How can I give spiritually? How can I give in my prayer time? How can I give in my Bible time? How can I be a stave or a support for God and His work? Let's pray. Lord, we thank You for this day, and we thank You for the time that You've given us tonight. Lord, I don't know that I gave that in the best way possible. I don't know that my oration was amazing, and I don't care, Lord. I want to know that Your word has been spoken true, and Lord, I do want to be a stave. I want to be a support for what You've given us to do, Lord. You've given us the gospel. You've given us a wonderful church, a wonderful pastor, and Lord, I pray that tonight we'd all leave here just determined that this year we are going to find as many ways to support our pastor, as many ways to support the gospel and spread it as we can. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.